As I was reading through John's Gospel this last week, one of the major themes that popped out to me was this idea of testifying about Jesus to the world. That is, telling others about who Jesus is and what he's coming to do and what his purpose was and what that means for everyone else. And of course, within the Gospel of John, not everybody received that message favorably. For example, notice in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, we read, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Jesus here proclaiming who he is to those around him. But notice verse 13 of chapter 8. "So the Pharisees said to him, 'You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true.' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Well, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me.'" Right? "Even in your law," verse 17, "has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Right? Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world." They say, "We can't believe you. You're one man testifying about yourself." And Jesus says, "Hold on a second. Your law says that just by the testimony of two people, it should be accepted as true. And I'm not testifying by myself. The Father is also testifying about who I am. Therefore, you should accept this testimony." But of course, it wasn't just the Father who testified about Jesus. Turn back a few chapters to John chapter 5, verse 31, beginning. Jesus said, "If I alone testify about myself, my testimony is not true," right? Because we need at least the testimony of two people for it to count as true in a court of law or to be verifiable. He says, "There is another who testifies of me," verse 32, "and I know that the testimony which he gives about me is true. You have sent to John, and he testifies to the truth. But the testimony which I received is not from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent." Verse 39, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." Right here, Jesus is saying there's a whole bunch of things that testify about who I am. Your very scriptures, what we would consider to be the Old Testament, testified about the coming of Christ. He says, "My Father testifies about who I am. Look at the works that he's allowing me to do, the miracles, the signs. They're testifying about my identity. And even before I got here, there was one who testified about me, John, who we refer to as John the Baptist, John who came baptizing." And notice in John chapter 1, this testimony of John the Baptizer. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, it says, "This is the testimony of John." This is what John testified about Jesus. "When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' Well, verse 20, this is his testimony. He confessed, and he did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they said, 'Well, what then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Well, are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' They said to him, 'Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered and said, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes one who is higher ranked than I, for he existed before me.' I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Here John saying, like, I didn't know who the Savior was going to be. I didn't know who the Messiah was going to be. God told me that I will testify who it is by sending the Spirit to rest on him. John says, after I baptized Jesus, I saw the Spirit descending as a dove. That was God testifying about him. And now I'm testifying to you. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's this great theme throughout the entire Gospel of John. In fact, this is the very reason why John writes his Gospel. If you go to John chapter 20, well, actually go all the way to the end. I think it's interesting that the Gospel is bookended by this idea of testifying about who Jesus. Notice how the Gospel ends. John chapter 21 and in verse 24, it says, this is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did which are not written in detail. I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. At the very end, John is saying, listen, this is my testimony about Jesus. I wrote down to you some of the things. I couldn't write everything. The world couldn't contain it. But if you jump back to chapter 20 and verse 30, he says why he wrote down the things that he did. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John says, I'm sharing my testimony with you about who Jesus is so that you can believe in him, so that you can be saved. And so it's this great theme all throughout the Gospel of John. That's why he wrote the Gospel. And what's interesting to me is when I think about us today, when I think about myself, think about my calling as a disciple of the Lord. Well, part of that is to call others to him, right? I think about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, go make disciples, baptizing them into a relationship with me and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Which, by the way, this was one of the things he commanded them. So if we have been baptized into Christ and we're going to observe what he commanded, we also need to be going out and baptizing other disciples and teaching them to observe all things that he commanded. And there is great gravity attached to this idea of testifying who Christ is to the world, proclaiming Christ to those who are lost. I think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. He says, therefore, anyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. If you will profess, if you will with your mouth go out there and say to people who Jesus is saying, when you stand before my Father, I'm going to acknowledge that I know you. You'll be welcomed into the rest. But here's the scary part, because he says, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. If you are unwilling to profess or boldly proclaim to those around you who Christ is, if you act like you don't know him, if you try to keep it a secret, Jesus says, well, when you stand before my Father, and you know, you're kind of looking at me like, hey, Jesus, aren't you going to tell him who I am? Jesus is going to say, I don't know that person. I don't know. What a sad thing. And so this is like a serious thing, a serious call for us as God's people, that we're to testify to the world about who Jesus is and what he's done for us and the impact that he's had on our lives. And yet, if I'm being honest, I find myself not always being as bold or forthcoming and talking with others about Christ. I don't know. How ready and willing are you to share with others that Jesus is your King, that he is your Lord, that he is your Savior, that he is God? Does it feel natural to you when you're talking with people in the world. I mean, I know it's natural for us when we're together to talk about God, to talk about spiritual things, to talk about His Word and Jesus. But when you're with people who aren't already in a relationship with the Lord, does it feel a little awkward? Does it feel less than natural sometimes? I'll be honest. For myself, I know I'm not as bold as I would like to be. It doesn't come as naturally as I want it to come. And so I ask myself the question, why is that? And what's interesting is I'm looking at the Gospel of John, I see a whole bunch of reasons why we might be hesitant to boldly proclaim who Jesus is. Why we might be hesitant to testify to the world about our Lord. And so these are not in order of how they appear in the Gospel.